Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy, and we welcome you to the Shepherd's Call tonight. This is Monday, and it is the 11th day of February, the year 2002. We're alive. We hope you are, and we hope that you have joined us for this very informative next 2 hours. We'll be on Truth for 1 hour, then we will be switching to soundwaves2000.com. So if you're at 2000soundwaves.com, then you won't even have to set your computer. You will be there for the entire episode. And tonight, we're going to get into a very, very interesting discussion. And tonight's message is entitled, The Secrets of Enoch. And we believe that the secrets of Enoch are very, very timely for our age. We're living in a time that all of the truth should be uttered that's been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, Genesis chapter 5, verses 18 through 24, is that Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. Now, these are the lifespans of the mighty ones in the beginning of time, praise Yahweh, or at least in the beginning of the second world. We believe that the first world had perished because of the fall of Satan and the mighty ones. Now, we are in stage two, if you will, and after Enoch lived 65 years, he begot Methuselah. That's verse 22. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So in verse 23, it tells us that all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now, we wonder why that Enoch only lived 365 years, and Enoch walked with the Elohim. That's Strong's number 430 for you that are interested in going into the words, which you shall find if you go into the words. It changes your whole understanding of the scriptures as they have been changed, if you will, into some words that doesn't really bring out the whole hidden picture and the whole hidden meaning. Now, from Genesis chapter 5, we jump down to Hebrews in the old, from the old parchment into the new. And in Hebrews 11 and 5, it is stated again about Enoch. And by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. This is an amazing scripture. We take it very lightly, because it defiles all the scientific evidence that we have a ticking biological clock that ticks down until we die. And by nature, it seems that most, if not all of us, die at within the time frame of the 120 years that's allotted, not any that I know of has lived over the 120-year mark, although there's some reported to be 130, and things of this nature. We haven't ever met those, and we haven't ever seen them, so we don't know by proof that they have lived over 120 years. Usually a man's lifespan, after he was put on a diet of meat, now that we've got the contaminated, if you will, meats and the hormones and the additives and things of this nature, it seems that more and more people are dying earlier with hideous diseases, stomach cancer, lung cancer, some type of cell disease that multiplies the cells and goes wild. So Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith he was taken and did not see death. For before he was taken, he had a testimony that pleased the Elohim. Now, I want you to mark that verse of scripture of Hebrews 11:5. Tonight we're going to begin a series on the ancient lost books of Enoch, the secret books we call them, and bring them into your view, our listening audience tonight, and try to expound on why that the book of Enoch was purposefully, and we believe really intentionally, left out of the canonization of the Bibles, the compilation, if you will, of the books that were added and taken away over the years. The book of Enoch was never put in there because the translators looked at the book of Enoch as something out of a fairy tale or something out of science fiction. But today, I believe if they had been translating the Bible in the day that we live in, we go back to these times that they were actually in the 1500s, 16th century rather, in the 15th, 16th centuries, where they were translating the modern English Bibles, and they were becoming very popular. They even took out the 12 books that were in the original King James Bible for the lack, they said, of inspiration. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you read the book of Enoch today, and then you apply it to modern science, we're talking about the possibility of ETs, those that live outside our Earth realm, that there is possibilities that the book of Enoch could be more than just a mere fairy tale. We're going to explore that tonight. Praise Yahweh in detail. Now, Jude goes into the next episode where the book of Enoch is mentioned. We read that Jude quoted actually from the book of Enoch, Jude chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Now, if you didn't have the book of Enoch to verify that particular verse, then you would have no authority to quote it or let it be added into the Bible as it is written today. Now, why did they add it in? Because it was a quote from a prophet, Jude, and he was a great prophet, by the way. It's a small book, only one chapter in the book of Jude, but it covers so much of a time area that has been blotted out of our history and kept suppressed purposely by the early church fathers, and I'm talking about the Catholic Church in particular, that had control over the canonization of our modern-day Bible. Now, why would they want to leave it out? Because it actually tells the history and the story of what really happened in Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 3. Now, from chapter 3 into chapter 6 is a great leap of where that these angels, the fallen ones, and these are the ones that Enoch is talking about. We're going to go into detail. We're going to really look behind the leaves of the pages of the book of Enoch. And if you don't have a copy, then I suggest that you get you a copy of the book of Enoch. And remember that if you believe the Bible, the New Testament especially, then you should believe Hebrews 11:5, and you should believe Jude 1, verses 14 and 15, where the man Enoch is mentioned along with some of his prophecies. So then, the Bible says he's coming to execute judgment upon all, as he comes with 10,000s of his saints, to convict all of their ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch knew these things in the beginning. He only lived 365 years. That is one day, actually, 1 year rather, for the 365 revolutions of the earth around the sun. Is there something significant in the 365 days for the lifespan of Enoch? I think so. We'll explore that later on, praise Yahweh, as we get into some of the secret things that we are getting into tonight. Now, we first learn of Enoch again in Genesis 5, but it leaves us with questions, and Hebrews 11 has the answers that Jude quotes Enoch. How did Jude come to know the words of Enoch? Was there a Bible written, or was it part of the text of the ancient scripts? We know that there are several Bibles. There's at least four books that is mentioned in the King James Bible that is not in the canonization of the Bible today. So you have to go to the lost books of the Bible or in other places to find these texts. And the book of Enoch is the favorite by far because he gets into some of the most amazing revelations about the end time as it was in the beginning. Remember, he declared the end from the beginning. So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I could be just as justified to say also that as it was in the days of Enoch. For Enoch was actually the grandfather of Noah. Now let me repeat that. Enoch was actually the grandfather of Noah. Of Enoch, chapter 68, verse 1 states, "And after that my grandfather Enoch gave me all the secrets in the book and in the parables which had been given to him by the mighty ones, and he put them together for me in the words of the book of the parables." Now we're talking about Noah. Noah had the book of Enoch. And he quotes in chapter 68:1 that it was given to him by his grandfather, Enoch. Isn't that amazing? Now, let's go, if you will, back to the time of the Protestant Reformation. There came to be a renewed interest at that time in the book of Enoch because there was questions as to whether that if it was valid, a valid book, and was mentioned in the canonization text, that it should be placed among the books of the Bible. However, the Catholic Church voted against these books, and they left the book of Enoch out, but they did give the Catholic credit. They still have the 12 books that the English King James Bible omitted. So then we give them honor where honor is due tonight for leaving in the 12 books that our Protestant Reformation brethren took out later on. Now, the book of Enoch, which has long since been lost, you can't find a copy hardly anywhere, by the world, and by the late 1400s, rumors begin to spread that somewhere a copy of the long-lost book of Enoch might still exist. During this time, many books arose claiming to be the long-lost book and were later found to be forgeries. Now, the return of the lost book of Enoch to the modern Western world is credited to given credit to the famous explorer James Bruce, who in 1773 returned from 6 years where three Ethiopic copies of the lost book were in existence. In 1821, Richard Lawrence published the first English translation, and the famous R.H. Charles edition was published in 1912. The following years, several portions of the Greek text surfaced, and then with the discovery of Cave 4 of the Dead Sea Scrolls, seven fragmentary copies of the Aramaic text of the Book of Enoch was discovered, and then the authenticity that it should have been placed in the canonization became a reality. Now, the scholars who believe that the Book of Enoch was published before the Christian era by some great known Semitic race who believe in himself to be inspired in a post-prophetic age borrowed the name of an antediluvian patriarch to anticipate his own enthusiastic forecast of the coming Messiah. The Book of Enoch is divided into five parts, but it is the Book of Parables, chapter 37 and verse 71, which gives scholars the most trouble, for it is primarily concerned with a figure called the Messiah, the Righteous One, the Chosen One, and the Son of Man. Did Enoch know from the very beginning that the Son of Man was to come, the Righteous One, or the Chosen One, as a Messiah, a Savior, if you will? Did Enoch actually know this? Well, if Enoch prophesied that he would come with 10,000 of his angels, in the end, I'm sure that he knew about the coming of the Messiah 2,000 years ago. The Book of Enoch, chapter 46, verses 1 and 2, is that I beheld the Ancient of Days, whose head was white like wool, and with him another whose countenance resembled that of a man. His countenance was full of grace, like that of the holy angels. Then I inquired of one of the angels who sent with me and went with me and showed me every secret thing concerning this Son of Man, who he was, whence he was, and why he accompanied the Ancient of Days. Verse 2, he answered and said unto me, this is the Son of Man to whom righteousness belongs, and to whom righteousness has dwelt, and who will reveal all of the hidden treasures of that which is concealed. For the Lord of Spirits has chosen him, and his portion has surpassed all before the Lord of Spirits in everlasting unrighteousness. Now here we go, ladies and gentlemen. So it is a prophetic utterance confirmed by the, if you will, the ancient text of the Dead Sea Scrolls, that in the Aramaic language they were still copying the ancient text of Enoch and were still quoting, as we notice from the Book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul quoted out of the Book of Enoch, and in the Book of Jude, Jude quoted out of the Book of Enoch himself, that the Lord would come back in the end, still future, with 10,000 of his saints to convict the ungodly and to bring judgment to the earth. Now, why? Because the Lord himself said that he was coming back to judge the world in righteousness. Now remember, the Messiah also said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And as early as chapter 6 of Genesis, we have the account of the fallen angels. He was referring right back to Genesis chapter 6 with the angels as they came down among man and began to mix their seed upon the earth. Now, we have those that believe that it's impossible for the Messiah to know these things in the thousands of years that had transpired back to the days of Noah. But listen, as he said, as he told the Jews, as they said, well, our father, Abraham, has been dead for generations or thousands of years. Do you know Abraham? listen to the reply of the Messiah. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that before Abraham was, I am. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you a question. If the Messiah was before Abraham, was he before Enoch? If he was before Enoch, was he before Adam? And if he was before Adam, was he before the fallen ones? And if he was before the fallen ones, was he the one that came into the world? According to John chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This is awesome. That we have a divine creator with the helpers called the Elohim. The Elohim were subject unto Yahweh, Yahweh being the chief among the Elohim. They came down in the sixth chapter of Genesis, let us go down. And so Yahweh and the mighty ones, those that remain loyal unto his cause, came down and discovered this gruesome thing that they had done to man. They had begun to mate and bring forth offsprings of the experiment that Yahweh had placed upon the earth. And this highly displeased the Father. Now we're going into the reasoning of why that mankind would want to leave out, if you will, the book of Enoch and its precious revelations of secret things for those who dare to look into the truth of the book of Enoch. It's an ancient composition known from two sets of versions, as I've done told you, the Ethiopic version, and the scholars identify it as Enoch 1, and a Slavic version that it identifies as Enoch 2, and which is also known as the Book of the Secrets of Enoch. That's the one that we're going to quote and read from tonight, the Book of the Secrets of Enoch. Both versions are copied manuscripts which have been found mostly in Greek and Latin translations. But remember, the fragmentations of the Aramaic confirm that the quoting of the Greek text is correct. And therefore, we have actually an ancient book that goes back until unto the time of the beginning of the sixth chapter of Genesis, when these angels came down and mated with the daughters of men, began to mix their seed. Now, let's begin as we go into these rebellious angels and their fall. As early as chapter 6 through 11, we have an account of the fall of the angels, mankind's initial demoralization, and the intercession of the non-rebellious angels on mankind's behalf, the damnation of the rebellious angels pronounced by Yahweh, and a preview of a messianic kingdom to come, and all the others together with them took them unto themselves wives, and each chose for himself one, and they began to go in to them and to defile themselves with them. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the truths that they've left out. We're talking about the secret books of Enoch. We're really going to get into it in the second half. You come back, Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. We're going to really unlock the secrets of Enoch. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard tonight. We're in the secret books of Enoch. We are going to uncover, as we start an interest series this week, on the secrets of Enoch. Why were the book left out of the original text? We believe because that our founding fathers, if you will, of the church, mainly the Catholic Church and those after the fall of the Apostolic Age that they quoted out of the apostolic fathers quoted actually out of the books that we've proven, but then that they were deemed too controversial. And there's where we come in. We pick up controversial things and we offer them to you as things to think on and to ponder on, these things that are given for you to think on, as it was in the days of Noah. Now we're going to quote out of the first book of Enoch, chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Now listen, as it actually is in line with Genesis chapter 6. We'll show you the comparison of the two. Actually, the book of Enoch is much stronger in its language of actually what happened and the consequences as it is written in the book of Enoch, chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Listen, and all the others together with them, talking about the angels, who took unto themselves wives. You know, it says in Genesis chapter 6 that the sons of God, it's actually translated incorrectly in the English. They did this purposely, ladies and gentlemen, to keep you from realizing that we have been visited by extraterrestrials many, many, many thousands of years ago, and that they could, in fact, be the progenitors of some of the races up on the earth that are now existing here. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, that would be out of question. Well, we can see by the fact of the book of Enoch that the possibility is quite probable that this is what happened. Notice, they begin to each choose for himself wives, and they begin to go in unto them and to defile themselves with them. Remember, I'm reading out the book of Enoch. And they taught them charms and enchantments, and the cutting of roots, and made them acquainted with plants. And they became pregnant, and they bare great giants, whose height was 3,000 eels, who consumed all the acquisitions of men. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. And they began to sin against birds and beasts and reptiles and fish, and to devour one another's flesh and drink of the blood. Then the earth laid an accusation against the lawless ones. Now, my heavens, ladies and gentlemen, are we looking at a blood, a vampire sect of beings upon the earth? Are there offspring upon the earth that still do these blood covenant rituals, or desire and drink blood and eat flesh? We believe so. Praise Yahweh. How closely this material now, if you'll notice, is related to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It's obvious. However, it gives us, as I have said, a much more negative version. We are told by Enoch that these rebellious angels numbered 200. Now, these 200 visitors to the planet were by then, these two accounts, including Genesis 6, 1 through 4, inspired by the lust and the beauty of the women that they saw. These angels, by traditions, are supposed to be immortal and to dwell primarily in the ether or of the spirit world, unattached to the physical, and thus not drawn by lustful acts, as some believe. But the Bible says that this sexual encounter would then be contrary to their nature and calling. They were to remain unmarried. Christ said himself, the angels in heaven neither marry or are given in marriage. They were to be above the lust of the flesh for procreation purposes. The procreation was given unto man when the command by their makers was given unto them to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth, meaning that it had been replenished at one time. Now, the practice as such would be to compromise their very being. So goes the thinking of one and others who think in the same manner. But an earlier tradition among the Israelites, as well as Christians, recognized the ability of angels to embody themselves in the flesh and even drop down to earth for the purpose of various kinds of visitation. Now, we have proven in the past, we've never got into the book of Enoch. We have long desired to, and now that we've got a two-hour teaching span, we felt that it was time for us to expound and explore and uncover the secrets of the book of Enoch and give you the early version of the book of Genesis chapter 6 and actuality of what went on. Now, the book of Genesis has been toned down. The book of Genesis has been written with a broad-brushed approach, and for the secret things to remain secret, and thus the elite, the ones that are to be given the mysteries to unfold, we had to search and pray and fast and seek the information that has been selective and secretive for these generations. The assumption here and elsewhere in the Enoch manuscript is that these angelic beings were quite acceptable to the women of the earth as potential mates and, in fact, looked humanoid. Now, I repeat, I have given you illustrations of the past where angels visited, such as Samson's mother and dad. They didn't know him from Adam, so to speak. And they had to ask for a sign that he was actually who he said he was. And as he made the hoe cakes, they made the hoe cakes and the offering, he tapped it with his magic wand, if you will, and disappeared into the heavens. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the angels that fell had these same amazing powers to work these amazing feats and demonstrations of magic. These are the very ones that came in and taught man all of the illicit acts of magic and things of this nature to defile Yahweh, because man always wanted to acquire knowledge. And so knowledge was traded off for the favors of the women giving themselves to these mighty ones, and they begin to bring offspring into the earth. And as late as 1000 B.C., we have what we call these giants still roaming the earth, these offspring still roaming the earth from these matings of Genesis chapter 6. Isn't it amazing that they were still some living and existing on the planet 1000 B.C., actually in the time of David? For David and his mighty men, as we understand, killed the last remaining giants, Goliath and his brothers, and this giant faction that lived in the earth at that time. We do not know that if David actually extinguished all of these giants from the earth. We do not know if they still have secret bases, because remember, these were men of renown, great minds, and they may be still giants from these angelic matings with earthlings still roaming our earth, or for that matter, roaming the heavens or the universe. Praise Yahweh. It's not difficult to conclude then that we most likely have here, assuming such similar events took place, a group of extraterrestrials, ancient astronauts, if you will, disobeying orders and mating with the locals. The consequences for mankind could have been, and perhaps has been, great indeed. Of such consequences may have been the penalties melted out in all of the concern with the mating that took place between our visitors and mankind against the express orders of our visitors. The central command, Yahweh in charge, gave them a command and expressed to them that they would not marry. Now, I repeat this. The Messiah said, the angels in heaven neither marry or are given in marriage. But what about, before he made this statement, what about those that broke ranks that is spoken of by the book of Jude and by the book of Genesis and by the book of Enoch and the book of Hebrews as it expressed the revelation of the secret things that Enoch knew about these mighty ones? He himself actually became a mediator between the fallen angels and the good angels as they were trying to negotiate an end to the mating practices of these mighty ones upon the earth. He failed. Therefore, at the mediation failure, Enoch was taken because he had become accustomed or trying to mediate the difference between the good angels and the bad. I believe the good angels, fearing that Enoch would suffer bodily harm, the Bible said Satan and his angels can take you captive at will. They have great technology advancements over mortal man. And they took Enoch off the earth to save him from a horrible fate, as the evil ones would have brought reprisal, I believe, against Enoch and his attempts to mediate or to negotiate a settlement between the good angels and the fallen ones. Ladies and gentlemen, we are into secret things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, let me read you out of the book of Jubilee. In its account of the watchers, it states, now the book of Jubilees also is mentioned in the Bible, that the reason that the angels of Yahweh descended to the earth was to instruct the children of men that they should do judgment and uprighteousness upon the earth, but that they begin to lust after the daughters of men, as it is stated in Jubilees chapter 4, verse 15. A similar lusting after the flesh is ordered or offered, if you will, in the New Testament of Reuben as undermining the morals of both watchers and daughters of men. In the book of Reuben, chapter 2, verse 17 through 19, the instruction ideal of Jubilees squares well with the overall evidence that we have in Genesis and other scriptures that these extraterrestrials perhaps presented themselves here and were motivated by the desire to procreate with mankind, brought in a hybrid race, if you will, and were eliminated from the earth because they were forced off the earth by the good angels. There was war in heaven, actually, over this very thing. War in heaven. The 12th chapter of the book of Revelations, again, verse 7, tells you that the angels actually warred against each other over this very problem. Ladies and gentlemen, it is also indicated that when the last days get here, that we're going to have these angelic encounters. Once again, the angels, the fallen ones, are going to come from the skies, and they're going to invade the earth, and they're going to take up just exactly where they left off in Genesis 6. Now, why do you believe that, Pastor Buddy? That you believe that these angelic beings, you know, most people believe that angels are just little whiffy spirits that float around, and they've been given this doctrine of Roman Catholicism and been made to swallow the ideal that these angels are in fact not real and cannot, I repeat, cannot, take upon themselves third-dimensional bodies of solid flesh and exist here upon the earth. But the very articles of faith in the Bible describe this is exactly what happened, and for this cause, angels and man were condemned for these ungodly acts. And the Bible tells us in the book of Jude that the angels that fail by transgression were chained in the abyss. Now, let me give you some understanding. I've already spoke about this in other episodes of the Orion Connection and the fall from heaven and the thousand-year reign. But let it be said, and let it be on record concerning the book of Enoch and the secrets that are revealed therein, that they were taken, actually, to a distant planet. They were restricted, if you will. The word chain is used in the King James Bible as a restraining device. Until. They were chained until the time appointed. At that time, another mighty angel, Michael, if you will, was commanded to loose Satan out of the bottomless pit. Now, the bottomless pit is in somewhere in space. As Satan's planet, Rahab, was knocked out of the sky in the war of the angelic battles that were fought in our, if you will, our solar system, when his planet was annihilated and broken up, and therefore we have the asteroid belt. How do you know, Pastor Buddy? Because the Bible speaks about Rahab, the planet, and that Satan was the actual, it was his own personal base of operations. He was removed from the base of operations near Earth and prevented, if you will, by being captured. He and the fallen ones, these rebellious ones, they were taken and moved out into the distant solar system, and the Bible is called the bottomless pit, many, many million and billions of miles out into space, put on a wide arc planet, if you will, and chained there until the appointed time, and then they are once again, as I gave you in 2 Thessalonians Friday night, that Satan is coming back to this planet. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he's coming back in real living person. He's coming back to sit in the temple. And his children, by the way, are now providing the materials for this great temple to be built, which shall, in fact, deceive, actually, the very elect. Many will fall of understanding. Many will be tried with understanding. Many will betray one another in that day, because it will look like that the millennial reign of Jesus Christ has begun with the advent of these fallen angels who come back to the earth, bring in a utopia, bring in a worldwide system of divine order, and set the house of the affairs of man in order. He will do miracles. He will actually be doing so many miracles that the very elect will begin to be persuaded to change over and to go over. Now, those that know Yahweh, the Bible says, will do exploits. Remember, I've told you that the first crew in, the first mighty ones that land on our planet. You say, Pastor Buddy, you just don't sound like a Christian preacher. Christianity doesn't preach like you do. Well, that's why I left Christianity, because of their failure, as the ostrich that sticks their head in the sand, to accept the facts as stated in the Bible and other books that were not included, including the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch is given as a warning, if you will, for us to study and to read and to prove all things. I have done indicated that angels do war, that there was a battle ensued in the heavens. This battle was for, literally, now listen to me, the battle was actually for the planet Earth and those that dwell thereon, to protect and to keep man away from these angels who desired to mate. Now, why would they do that? Especially since Satan, the mighty angel in the Garden of Eden, who had his seed cursed. Now, why are they here? Why have they been here en masse since 1948, beginning a great sightings, if you will, across the earth of these UFOs, of these craft that fly through the air, these chariots that defy gravity and travel at fantastic speeds, have seen and been clocked with radar and measured time that they travel over 23,000 miles per hour. 23,000. That's just going through our atmosphere here upon the Earth, and they are known and proven to be able to travel much faster. Now, how do they do this? I've told you about the secret of how they warp time. They don't travel in a timeline. They travel outside of time. And ladies and gentlemen, only the Earth is in time because we have been given the curse of time. Actually, the curse of time, we were limited in time by the Mighty Ones. They put a limitation upon our existence here upon the Earth, and we fell into a timeline, and we begin to age because of the fall, and because that Yahweh wanted to actually speed up time, if you will, and shorten the days. That's why he did it. Now, there is evidence that we are, in actuality, and the photon they're beginning to believe that we are now merging into this time speed-up, and that there's literally only 16 hours in a given 24-hour period. And that's why that you seem like you get up, and before you know it, you go to bed. And before you know it, you get up. And before you know it, another day is gone, and another day is here, and another day is gone, so on and so forth. And that's what we're talking about here as we talk about the times that we are facing in the last days as we are nearing the time of trouble, such as the world has never seen. Now, we're going to continue on Soundwaves 2000. You don't want to miss this. As I get into the Book of Enoch, the secret teachings of the Book of Enoch, I'm going to be reading exclusively from the Book of Enoch and show you what it has to say about our future coming times of trouble, such as the world has never seen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy. You listen to the Shepherd's Call. I'm delighted to have you aboard tonight. Call a friend and tell them that we'll be on Soundwaves 2000 here at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Join us there if you will. You can make the switch now, and we will be seeing you at soundwaves2000.com here in just about 3 minutes. Praise Yahweh. Let me talk to you about how to reach the Shepherd's Call. Thank you for all of your cards and letters and for your emails and for your telephone calls. I appreciate it. We need your support to continue on with the Shepherd's Call. So you just took us in a love offering and support our sponsors. Now, our sponsors can be contacted at 1-877-289-7439. That's Dr. Gary. 1-877-289-7439. We're talking about Miracle 2 products and things that relate to your health. Now, you can contact Dr. Jack at 1-877-289-7439. Call Dr. Jack or Dr. Gary at either of these toll-free numbers for your Miracle 2 products. If you would like to contact the Shepherd's Call, simply write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. If you'd like to telephone me, my telephone number is area code 423-626-2172. If you would like to email me, my email number is ejohnson@wwgap.net. That's ejohnson@wwgap.net. Well, the time is coming on. Good to have you aboard. We'll see you tomorrow night on Truth Radio at 8 Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you just in a couple of minutes over on Soundwaves 2000. Make the switch now and join us for the continuation of the Book of Enoch, Secret Things and Secret Places. Yahweh bless.
Evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.